listening to Mind Games, presented by E3Wealth.com.
Back on Mind Games, talking with Frank Kane, the owner of Citizen Kane's, and when we went to break, Tom Schwarz stuck his head in. Stick around after our show. You'll hear Tom on the STL United Soccer Show. They're having a lot of fun talking to all kinds of different personalities in the soccer world. But so we're on break, and Tom sticks his head in and says, I've been to your place. It's amazing. It's great. So, you know, and before we went on the air today, guys coming up to us and asking, is that Frank Kane from Citizen Kane? So the reputation
has
grown.
Rock star, man.
The reputation has grown. So, Frank, I've always been amazed and wondered how you would handle. You say you seat 100 people, and so many of those orders have to come pouring into the kitchen at one time. How do you manage this? How do you coordinate this? I just can't imagine what that would look like.
Well, if you walk back in our kitchen and saw that our kitchen is no bigger than this studio right here, and we have our dish station, our salad station, and our broiler, and our saute all in the same area, it is unbelievable how we do it. Mike Bowen is our broiler man, and he's working on a 4-foot by 3-foot broiler, and at any time you could have 50 or 60 steaks on there. I mean, there's several techniques. Some guys put an X in the broiler, and then you use one quadrant of the X for your medium rares and your rares, and then you have another one for your well-dones, and then you have a holding square. I don't know how they do it. You can group your steaks. It's amazing to watch the guy do that day in and day out. We'll cook 125 fillets tonight, 50 strips and 50 ribeyes, all in a matter of 4 hours or under, and he'll have more than 60 steaks on the grill at one time. It is amazing how he does it. Mike Bowen is a great broiler man, and he's been with us for a long time, and we can't thank him enough.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the owner of his major popular steakhouse, what kind of steak do you order? Are you a filet guy? Are you a ribeye guy or a T-bone guy? I know everyone has their own. Tom, you're a pork chop guy. You kind of like those a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to cut in. I'm not going to let him answer for him. I'm going to answer for him. I'm a strip guy, and whenever I can remember having gone a few times and saying to just asking the waiter to see what they'd say, and they say, oh, the strip. And again, you could dang near cut it with a fork. And I never, ever thought I would order a pork chop out at a fine dining place. The pork chop is hard to beat. It really is. I'm getting text messages right now from people asking me, can you get me in? Can I get a reservation? I really am. So what was your question again, Rob?
Yeah, well, just what kind of cut of steak do you recommend? Do you recommend your strips or what? You know, the cut of the steak is always, you know, it's a very personal preference. A lot of filet people out there. I'm a ribeye guy myself, but Tom mentions the strip. Just in this room, we got three different opinions.
Right.
What about you?
My wife's a ribeye girl. The filet is our most popular, of course. I prefer the New York strip also. When I go out, I get the strip. It's sort of in between the filet and the ribeye. A little more body than the filet, maybe not as much marble as the ribeye. The ribeye, of course, probably has the most flavor. The ribeye, it's over the last 15 years, it's been filet most popular, strip second, and ribeye third. Ribeye now this year is the first time it's ever surpassed a strip in year, annual sales. So when you break it down, it's pretty much filet, ribeye, strip, and the pork chop is a sneak or two.
Tom, I'm hungry. I want ribeye right now, man.
I know. Well, he brought a box of goodies in for us. I shouldn't have mentioned that to you, Stegenberg.
Yeah.
But let's take a second and try to help that cook at home or that chef at home who wants to know, you know, how do I prepare? What's the best way to prepare a steak?
Well, the way you do it is you have to go get the best quality meat possible. I would recommend going to Straub's or mm-hmm. Dierbergs or anywhere that you can find a nice fresh piece of meat that maybe was not frozen. You get your Weber kettle nice and hot. Clean your grill. It's very important to have a clean grill when you're cooking a steak. Burn it. Get it white hot if you have to. Put some of that Citizen Kane steak seasoning on the steak. And then really the trick of cooking a steak is to turn it as less amount of times as possible. You really the true way of doing it is turn it at one time. You and then you should be ready to go. You should be medium rare. If you really don't want to play with the steak on the grill, pork and other types of meat you can turn much more, but you want to turn it once or twice and put it off to the side and wait for the wife to say bring the steak in, the potatoes are done, and don't overcook it.
And what I learned was that if you have a piece of meat that is no thicker than looking at the side of your hand, that's a piece of meat that you're going to sear and cook right there on the grill. Now, some pieces of meat, you might sear it. And we're talking about putting a crust on that meat, not turning it right away. And what happens is when that meat is ready to be turned, it'll release itself from the pan or from the grill. You don't want to tug it and tear it off.
No.
At all. It has to be ready to turn, and then you turn it. Now, if it's a piece of meat that is thicker than your hand, you might have to finish it off in the oven, say at 325 for 6 or 7 minutes. But like you said, you don't want to overcook it, because then it's gone. You can undercook it and put it back.
That's
but
true.
If you overcook it, you're finished. So you're talking about searing the piece of meat is a big tip.
You want to sear the juices in, and if you have a hot fire to do that, if you leave it on the grill too long, you shut the lid, you will overcook it. So you're probably right. If you want to sear it and put it in the oven to hold it, it'd be probably a smarter idea than to leave it on the grill.
I'll tell you, Frank, one of my favorite things to do in the summertime when I'm grilling, when I'm not trying to get a table at Citizen Kane, but when I like to go to the local butcher shops. I'll tell you, I think that's one of those long lost arts. But you want a really good cut of meat, and to talk to people who know about cuts of steak, check out the local butcher shops. I mean, not trying to get a free plug out here, but boy, those guys do a good job. The local butchers, you got any comment about those guys?
Oh yeah, I think that that's always a dream of one of my kids, want to open up a Kane's butcher shop themselves and do some that kind of thing. But I honestly believe that that's becoming a popular thing. All the neighborhood stuff, anything you can do more local, I think the better. The butcher shops, are hopefully they're going to be more and more coming around. And in today's world, it makes more sense maybe to, if a small business, to operate something like that to start off with, I think, and focus on nothing but meats. The local butcher shops, I think, would be a good way to go to get your meat.
Any tips for our listeners as far as when they go to the store or when they go to their butcher? What should they be looking for? You mentioned marbling, or what questions might a person ask to get the best product possible?
Well, marbling is critical, especially in your fillets and in your ribeyes and your strips. Color is very important too. You don't want dark purples in your meat. you want to make sure that it's you can touch the meat, and if it bounces back at you, it very well could have been frozen. So you really, between the marbling, the color, and the texture, I think those are all things you need to look at when you're purchasing. Because meat today is really going up in price too, so if you're going to spend that extra money on a prime piece of meat, you better keep an eye on those three factors.
I'm getting more texts. One is from my friend Tassos, who's saying, "I didn't know you knew so much about cooking." I don't know that I do know that much, but a couple of tricks that I learned, and another one that I want to pass on as far as helping a home chef distinguish between when is a piece of meat cooked to medium, well done, medium rare, and being able to distinguish, you have to touch the meat. And what I learned was that if you touch the meat, if you put your finger into the meat, pressing down, and it feels like pressing against your forehead, you have a well-done piece of meat. Now, if you touch your nose and you get a little give there, and you get that give in the meat, you have a medium-rare piece of meat. If you touch your chin and it's softer, and you're touching your meat, and your finger's really easily going in and making an indentation, you're still at a rare point. So it's important, though, also, to let the meat rest a few minutes after you've cooked. Talk about why that's important.
That's very important. You take the steak off the grill, and it will continue to cook for several minutes. So if we try to cook most of our steaks a half a temperature below what they request, because it will cook as it goes to the table. So yeah, touch is very important to the broiler man. We touch the sides of the steak, and you can sort of tell by the wall of the steak. At the same kind of thing, it's all about touch, and that's very important. You don't want to tug the piece of meat off the grill and let it stick, because then there goes all the seasoning, and then right, there goes all the flavor, and then everything inside, all the juice will run out too. So you don't want to ruin the seal like that.
Sure. Rob?
Well, I just, again, this has been a fascinating show. We all love to eat, we all love to cook, but, you know, there really is a science to this. So, real quick, I know we're getting ready to kind of wrap this up. Any final words about your restaurant? I mean, how do people get in? How do people find you? You know, what can we help? What can we do to help you kind of promote your business?
Well, we appreciate you having us on the show today. Our hours are Tuesday through Saturday. We open at 5 o'clock, no lunch, and been in business for 18 years, and I couldn't be any more pleased with what's going on there. We just paid the building off last month, too.
That's
something that we've been striving for, and that will take a little pressure off. And with meat prices going up and up, our menus prices will not change.
So paying off the building, does this mean more days at the track for Frank?
No. I'm just the chauffeur and security at the track. I don't really bet too much. I feed the horses at the farm. I don't buy food at the track.
Okay, my wife is texting me, and she's wanting to know, how do I secure my leftovers from my husband? How do I keep that away from him late at night? Frank, it's been great having you.
All right, well, pleasure to have nice meeting you, Ron and Tom. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Good. And a continued luck or success, and it's going to happen for you.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity of being here, and you have a great show.
Yeah,
well,
thanks,
just
Frank.
Take a look at our faces, because you'll be seeing us within the next 2 weeks.
For sure.
All right, well, give us a call.
Thanks, man.
All right, Frank Kane from Citizen Kane's on Mind Games Radio, KFNS, KFNS.com.